Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the program. We'll get to more of your phone calls. If you're on hold, stay there. 404-726-0929. Plenty more discussion about this Falcons quarterback conversation on the way. Right now, we're going to take a quick detour because all of a sudden, the Five Stripes are on fire. On fuego. Jason Longshore is here to talk about it, Atlanta United analyst. Jason, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, or maybe it's out of nowhere, you can tell me, this club is turning it around in a hurry. Now, probably too little too late here, but tell us what's going on, man. How is this happening?
You're 3 points out of a playoff spot right now. That's one win.
There you go.
Like, it's crazy. It's a weird season in MLS where I feel like there are a couple of elite teams in each conference, then a couple of teams that should be elite on talent and are going to be in the mix towards the end, like a Miami and like an LAFC. And then pretty much everybody else, you're separated by a hot week. And that's what Atlanta United has had. It's a very good week. You win 3 games in a row in a week. I don't care where you are in the table. That's hard to do. I don't care how much talent you have. That's hard to do. And they were all kind of different. You know, you have to come back against the Red Bulls at home last weekend. Then you go to Minnesota, which is a long trip, and it was a difficult game where you get the lead, you concede. And so many times we've seen that then snowball into a loss. And instead, you go and you find a second goal and you win the game. Then you come back and have 1 day of training and then go into a game against Kansas City where your gas tank is on about a quarter tank, and you saw them look really good for about 30 minutes. And then it was a struggle. That team was out of gas. They were struggling to get through it. Kansas City found a goal in the second half and you got it over the line. And those moments where earlier in the season, you would see promising things happen, something go against the team, and they couldn't either get out of their head. They couldn't get the game finished. They couldn't show the confidence and the resilience that they needed to. We saw that in a lot of different ways over this past week. And now with 9 points in a week, you are within shouting distance of a playoff spot and a lot of time to come. And oh yeah, by the way, you get your big signing in the door. Literally, he was in the building last night, and you have another signing on deck that you're waiting on the work visa. And you're still being linked to moves in South America as we speak. So there's all kinds of stuff going on at the moment.
Do you think that commitment to not giving up and retooling the roster is helping fuel this?
I think it is all connected, you know, and I talked about it last night on the call. You know, Kansas City was going through the opposite yesterday. Their star striker, and Kansas City is being aggressive and spending money as well. They've got a player on deck that they're waiting on the work visa that'll be a big addition. And they're rumored with a few other big moves. But yesterday, they were missing their top striker over the past couple of seasons because he's on his way to Seattle. So they had the opposite of a deflating situation in the transfer window. And I think you saw how they started. I think you saw the opposite of how Atlanta started because they literally got to meet their new teammate who scored goals in the World Cup not that long ago before the game. And it's a boost. And you feel the boost in two ways. You feel the boost of, hey, we're doing things. We're trying to change this season and we have time to do it. And you also feel the boost of, hey, if I want to continue to play in this team, I'm going to have to play really well. The competition side of it. So yeah, I do think that when you start to get linked to guys like Brill and Bolo and you get that deal done and you're able to announce it, kind of puts everybody on notice of, hey, this changes the expectations for this group now.
How important, obviously it goes without saying, but to start stacking wins at home and get the fan base re-energized.
Yeah, I think it is important. And I think, you know, last night's a special case because of the week. And we've seen this over the years. When you have the midweek game, and especially when you travel for that and have to go and come back, that's 3 days that are affected of your week. So the last game can be a challenge. And when you're already a little shorthanded, especially in the midfield, it's a challenge. But they met that challenge. So it wasn't pretty. And I do think that's something that you're going to want to see. And I think Atlanta United has that obligation. I've said this for a long time when we talk about clubs that present themselves as big clubs. And usually that comes down to spending money and going out and investing in top talent. I don't think an Atlanta United, an MLS, I don't think an LAFC, I don't think a Miami, I don't think they can be defensive teams. And Atlanta's not. Don't get me wrong. Don't misread what I'm saying. I think there is an obligation to play with style. And usually in the sport, saying that playing with style means attacking soccer. You know, a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, a PSG, a Manchester City now, an Arsenal who was really yelled at a lot in the Premier League in the second half of last season because they did not play an attacking style and they did what they had to do to win the Premier League. But that was one of the big conversations coming into this season that started over the weekend is, hey, yeah, that's all well and good. You won your first title in a while. That's great. Now you got to do it in a more entertaining way. If you're a big club, you have to be entertaining. And I think Atlanta United will get there. You have to meet that expectation. Right now, I do think wins, no matter how you get them, and in any season, even when you're entertaining, you're going to have to grind a game out. You're going to have to find a way to win a game that's tough. Right now, any wins will be acceptable with Mbolo and with the expectation that he's going to score more goals. Yeah, I think you're going to want to see not just wins, but wins with style.
Has Tata saved his job?
I don't think there was really a concern about that because he's in a special case. And this happens not just with Tata, with managers who have won in a place before, with coaches who have won in a place before, they get more time. And Tata alluded to that earlier this season, and I think he was right. You have earned yourself a little more of an opportunity to get it right. So I feel better about his maybe feeling about where things are going. And we've had this conversation before. He's not somebody who stays for a long period of time in a job. He looks at it as a cycle. He's there. He wants to build it up. He wants to perform and win. And then his time is done and he hands it off to somebody else. I really feel good now with getting these guys in the door that you will have the expectation of Tata Martino being here through the sprint season next year, the first half of 2027, and then the following MLS season, which will start in July or early August of 27 and run through May of 28. I think that is the run that you're looking to maximize with Tata Martino now.
Jason, really good stuff as always. When are you on this week?
I'm on tomorrow with a little Atlanta soccer tonight, and we will be speaking to Brill Mbolo. He is being presented to the media tomorrow morning. So you'll hear from Atlanta United's new striker, from Chris Henderson as well. We'll talk about all of the other stuff going on. I don't know if you saw it. University of Georgia drew over 25,000 people to Sanford Stadium for their women's soccer match. I'm going to try to get Madison Cruz on the show to talk about that. She was there. Georgia's won two in a row. College soccer's underway. All kinds of stuff going on in the soccer world right now.
Great stuff, Jason. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. 404-726-0929. Five stripes are rolling, and so are the calls at 404-726-0929. Let's go to San. San is up next. San.
Hey, I just kind of want to address the call earlier. We don't want Johnny Manziel. No one wants another Johnny Manziel.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, the Jack Strand thing, hey, let's pump our brakes on it for a little bit. You know, let's see what we got with Michael Penix. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But, you know, if your comparison is Johnny Manziel, it's already a lost, blown idea anyway. let's see what we got with MP9. If that doesn't work, let's build it up the right way.
No,
we don't want any Johnny Manziel.
No, I agree 100%. And I don't think he's anything like Johnny. And matter of fact, dude was about to go to NASA. I couldn't think of anything else further from what Johnny Manziel is and represents than a guy who was on a path to NASA. No, I get what he was saying, the whole running around, making magic happen type stuff. But not the whole thing is not now. Not now. Bob is up next. Bob.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love!
Bobby. All right, let's go to Ike is up next. Ike.
Hey, Turtle.
Yo.
So can I calm Atlanta down and give you a scenario, and you can agree or disagree?
You can certainly try.
With this Jack Stranz nonsense.
Yeah.
Michael Penix is going to be the starting quarterback. Who is going to be the backup? Can I tell you, okay, Kevin Stefanski was brought here because of this offense, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so let's finish this scenario out. Jack Stran, if they can stash him somewhere, Jack Stran to me, skill-wise, if they can develop him, he is a player for your rival team that's been giving you thorns for years. He is Taysom Hill. That's who he is. That's who he is going to be in the NFL if he survives. He can come in, give you a gadget play every now and then that might catch somebody off surprise, and that's where his skill set will be. Taysom Hill, to his credit, has given the Falcons problems in several different games. That's who I see Jack Stran to be. So calm down, Atlanta. This is what you have in Jack Stran.
Well, and you know what, Ike? I appreciate it. If the Falcons turned an undrafted rookie free agent D2 quarterback into Taysom Hill, yeah, I think I'd call that a win. A guy that could be on your roster, a fan favorite for 10 years, yeah, I think I'd take that. Let's finish up with Ryan. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So, the Jack Stran situation, I am totally going to back you up here and drop some facts on these people in Atlanta that are riding their unicorns through the gumdrop forest in Candyland.
Yep.
Like it's Jack Strand, as you have pointed out, was an undrafted rookie from a D2 school, Minnesota Morehouse, that 32 other teams passed on multiple times in the draft. There is a reason for that. Secondly, yes, I think he played well against the third and fourth teamers for Indianapolis. And yes, I do believe that he has earned a spot on this team in whatever capacity that might be. However, do you know what the third and fourth string guys on an NFL preseason game equate to? The vast majority of which will not be playing in about 2 weeks or even on an NFL roster. That's what that is. Now, I think the bigger question for the Falcons is what do you do with Tua? Do you keep Cooper Rush and have Jack Strand as your number three? I think that's an option. Cooper Rush can win games. He came in, played pretty well in the preseason game that we've seen him. Tua looks like a deer in headlights. He looks completely lost. At least Cooper Rush looked like he had a semblance of understanding of the offense. And again, what harm could it do, right? Well, here's what harm it could do. Do you think Kevin Stefanski is hitching his wagon and his career to an undrafted D2 rookie free agent?
Nope.
Absolutely not. Do you think Tommy Rees is literally putting his career on the line? Because if that was the case and he started Jack Strand and they were bad, which they would be awful, he would lose his job in an instant. He'd be the first guy out the door. They're not doing that. And I like Jack Strand. I'm rooting for the kid. He's got great intangibles. He's got a very good arm. He seems to be very intelligent. keep him on the team. But if Jack Strand sees the field for the Falcons at all, they are in big, big, big trouble. We have to find out what we have with Penix, because next year the Falcons are going to be number two in cap space. That means they can get free agents. And if Michael Penix is even a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the NFL, the Falcons could be a playoff team and a contender next season. So, again, Turtle, thank you for trying to bring some logic and rational thought to your audience. And I appreciate you as always, man. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You, thank you. Call of the night. Gold star. No nuts. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you. You're not what Atlanta wants, but you're what Atlanta needs. And you go to bed tonight and you put your head on that pillow and you sleep tight, my friend. Thank you. All right, coming up next, you want the inside skinny? I got you. Daniel Flick of the AJC stops by next. All things Penix, Tua, and Dirty Birds on 92.9 The Game.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.